Many Americans are unaware that behind the technical backbone of the financial system is decades out of date, many, many years out of date. You know that. Paul and others are straightening it out, but payments and money transfers are costly and take days or even weeks to clear. Under this bill, the entire ancient system will be eligible for a 21st century upgrade using the state-of-the-art crypto technology.
The new structure bill. On the one hand, the entire monetary apparatus would migrate on-chain, powered by decentralized crypto protocols that could finally rip power away from the unelected Federal Reserve overlords and their endless fiat printing presses. A full-spectrum overhaul, positioning America at the vanguard of a digital asset revolution while the globalist dinosaurs in London and Brussels scramble to keep their centralized stranglehold intact. On the other hand, as the roughly $800 billion investment by the UAE, Japan, and Silicon Valley to build vampiric data centers reaches a fever pitch, this new structure could be the Trojan horse for something far more sinister.
So then you'll be living in a world that you didn't agree to, didn't vote for, that you are co-inhabiting with a super intelligent alien species that answers to the goals and rules of a corporation, an entity which has access to the comms, beliefs, everything you ever said, and the whereabouts of every person in the country via your personal data. Surveillance capitalism can toggle pretty quickly into digital totalitarianism. At best, these tech giants become the self-appointed arbiters of human good, which is the fox guarding the henhouse. They would never, ever think of using that power against us and strip mining us for our last drop of cash. That's a scarier scenario than what I presented in The Terminator 40 years ago, if for no other reason than it's no longer science fiction.
Programmable money, total surveillance tied to digital IDs, and the slow march toward CBDC enslavement wrapped in a crypto name tag.
There will be no privacy, and it's a very effective controlling mechanism by the government. What I mean is all the transactions will be known. All transactions done with digital currencies will be known, which is good for illegal activities, getting control of illegal activities. But it also means that the government has a great deal of control. For example, they can tax that way. They can take your money. They can establish foreign exchange controls and the like. And that'll so that's something that will be an increasing issue, particularly for international holders of that currency, because they might feel, let's say if you're a Frenchman and they wanted to have sanctions, they could take your money.
Well, of course.
You know, and so on. So there's the privacy issue of that.
And if you're politically disfavored, you could be shut off.
Politically disfavored, you could be shut off, yes.
So do you think that is the right thing to do for America to have boots on the ground or even be involved in attacking Iran? I mean, we were the first aggressor here. We fired the first shots in Iran. Is that the right thing to do for our country?
That is the right thing to do if you want to implement the digital control grid. It's not the right thing to do if you want to represent America. But this has nothing to do with American national interests. This has to do with essentially a syndicate asserting sufficient control to implement the next phase of the financial system.
The same technocrats who've pushed Agenda 2030 for years aren't about to surrender control. They're rebranding it as progress, luring in the masses with promises of efficiency while embedding back doors for tracking every transaction, freezing dissenters' assets, and enforcing social credit scores in real time. The real question remains, is Trump delivering liberation from the debt slave matrix or accelerating the beast system's digital noose? John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
InfoWars. Tomorrow's news today.
this? Oh, I've got Power Plan. Oh, what's this? I've got Methyl Drive, the two ingredients in the Power Drive bundle, which is available at thealexjonesstore.com. Take them. Pure power, pure energy, raise testosterone, improve mitochondrial function, methylation genes in enzymatic processes throughout the body. Pairs perfectly, absolutely perfectly with Methylene Blue. These are the two products made to work in conjunction together with Methylene Blue. I made them, I developed them, high quality mineral blends, methylation blends, adaptogenic herbs, functional mushrooms, and the CoQ10, the PQQ. What you want for metabolic health and mitochondrial function. I want you to win today. I want you to succeed. Take out the enemy. Choose freedom.
From the front lines of the information war, this is the War Room with Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Haven't seen this one in a while. We got some more AI to show you. I got lots more videos to show you today. We'll get into all the actual news here. Of course, all the actual news is the underlying condition for what has led us to the big break in MAGA. In other words, it's all bad news if you love America or are Trump. Israel is not stopping attacking Lebanon, which means there is no real ceasefire, which means we're still in the middle of a giant war with Iran with no end in sight. And the fuel shortages are getting to such a point that there's like a civil war breaking out in Ireland, like an actual, like they are deploying the military to shut down protests. And the protesters are going on TV and saying, our forces are bigger, come and get us. So this is going to happen all over the place pretty soon if this doesn't get solved. And it's not getting solved because of Israel. It got started because of Israel. It's being perpetuated because of Israel. The ceasefires that we're attempting to get are all being scuttled and destroyed because of Israel. And they are just rapidly and aggressively expanding in every way that they possibly can, including just openly bombing civilian infrastructure all over Lebanon. So we're going to get into all of that. I could just keep going with the responses to Alex Jones and Donald Trump's beef, but we'll move on. There's actual things going on. I'm wondering, which should we go to clip 12 or clip 22? I guess let's go to clip 12 here. Here it is. Fake peace. This is another AI update. Little AI update for you for how the war is going. Let's watch.
You ran to China. You begged on your knees.
Please be my friend.
Please, China, please. You called Moscow, you cried on the phone. Please mediate for me. I'm all alone. But here's the news you don't wanna hear. The strait is moving.
Ships are here.
China passes, Japan passes, India too.
Fake peace. Fake peace. Not for you.
Fake peace, fake peace.
No release.
Open for the world, but for you,
no Greece.
Iran said, everyone's welcome.
Come trade, come through.
But you and Israel,
sorry,
not for you.
Fake peace, fake peace.
10 days and gone. You cry to everyone from dusk to dawn.
The strait is open for the human race.
Fake peace.
Go cry in your place.
You stabbed them twice while they sat at the table. You talked about peace, but your aim was unstable. You sent the bums with your little friend's help. Now you want to pass. Go box somewhere else. The strait is open for China, for Japan, for France, for every ship that wants to dance. But when you come with your golden crown,
fake peace.
Fake peace.
Sit down.
Open for the world, open for trade, open for everyone. That's how it's played. China ships, Japan ships, India's fleet. The whole world moves, you taste defeat.
Fake peace.
Hear that sound?
That's your empire flushing down.
You beg for mediation. You beg for a deal. But the strait says no.
And that's real.
Fake peace, fake peace.
No release.
Open for the world.
But for you?
No Greece.
Iran said, everyone's welcome. Come trade, come through.
But you and Israel.
Sorry.
Not for you.
Fake peace, fake peace.
10 days and gone. You cry to everyone from dusk to dawn. The strait is open for the human race.
Fake peace.
Go cry in your place.
Right, you so went this to is the latest, you went to the you know, AI creation out of Iran, mocking Donald Trump with extreme accuracy, I have to say. Issues airports issue 3-week warning over jet fuel shortage as Hormuz Strait crisis continues. European airports have reportedly warned the European Union that jet fuel shortages could soon disrupt the summer holidays of many in the bloc. Airport Council International Europe have written a letter to EU Transport Commissioner warning about the dwindling jet fuel reserves across the sector. It has been reported. Inflation surges as effects of the Iran war shows in prices. The consumer price index jumped 3.3% in the year through March, a 2-year high, reflecting higher costs for energy and goods affected by the disruption in the Middle East. Trump has started the Iran war with 5 goals. How far has he gotten? Not very on any of them. Of course, he didn't really start the war with 5 goals. They started with 3 goals, then they added 2 goals, and then they added 1 goal that didn't exist before the war because the strait was open before the war. So one of the goals is simply dealing with the effects of the war that you started. How's it going? And so you're going to lash out at Alex Jones. Is Alex Jones at fault for any of this? Or is this all you and Mark Levin and Lindsey Graham, the very people that you are salivating over? Like a pathetic worm. Let's go to clip 21 here. This is one of the targets of Donald Trump's ire, Megyn Kelly, explaining how we got into this war, who got us into it. Let's watch.
I'd like to know just as much as anybody else, but all I can think in my head, based on what I've read in the paper, is we got here thanks to Bibi Netanyahu, Lindsey Graham, and Mark Levin. And ultimately, President Trump. That's not to take agency away from the president, who was bamboozled. I don't know why. He was too weak to say no. He was too gullible to see through the lies. One way or another, he allowed himself to be pushed into this insane conflict that caused, forget, you know, the blood and treasure we spilled. As you point out, at least 15 service personnel, I believe we're being lied to about the total number of dead and wounded. But we don't know what the accurate death toll in Iran is. How many civilians in Iran died? How many died in our allies around Iran who now don't trust us? What penalty do we pay other than the cost and the 15 lives that we expended, which count for a lot? But we didn't take the brunt of Iran's response. Our allies did, with whom we did not consult prior to starting this war, who are very, very angry, many of them, about what was done to them. What's going to happen to the trillions of dollars Trump was touting that they donated? They were offered to donate to the United States just to be nice guys and have great relations. You think they're going to spend that on us now? They're going to spend it on themselves. They've got to rebuild massive portions of their own countries thanks to the bombing campaign unleashed against them because they were within reach by Iran, who couldn't reach us. So we've upset our allies. We've pleased Israel, although now they're upset that there's a ceasefire. We've upset the American base, the Trump coalition that got him elected is completely fractured and in smithereens. And he doesn't care, Piers, because he doesn't care about the Republican Party. He cares about himself. If Trump had to get reelected, he probably would have handled this a little differently. But he doesn't care that the Republicans are going to lose the midterms. I think he thought that was a foregone conclusion. And I don't think he cares that J.D. Vance or Marco Rubio wins the presidency next time around. I think there's a piece of Trump that would like to say, I'm the only one who could do it. The Republican Party's nothing without me. And the rest of us are going to be around to pick up the pieces.
I mean, a fascinating assessment. I mean, I remember early on you picking up, as I did, on what Rubio had said about the reason why America went in. And then the immediate backtracking the next day when they realized, panicked and realized they'd let the cat out of the bag. This was clearly a Netanyahu-driven operation. He had persuaded Trump to come with him. Then we had Antony Blinken saying, well, actually, he tried to do this when Biden was president, when Obama was president. And both times, those two guys said, no, we're not going to come with you. And then he didn't attack. So he clearly got third time lucky with an American president that would come with him. But I remember early on, you know, you and I and others who suggested, dared to suggest that we take Rubio at his word, that actually this was all at Israel's behest. You know, once again, we were anti-Semitic if we said that. This was a hatred of Israel that was driving our warped, crazed minds. And then you read this deep dive in the New York Times. Fascinating. I mean, what's most fascinating to me, they've got somebody on the inside telling them exactly what happened in that situation room, which is fascinating. But when you see it all laid out, it's crystal clear. That's exactly what happened. That Netanyahu got in that situation room at the White House, like you say, unprecedented. The way he had the guy from Mossad on the big screen, he had him there with his... It was like two equal partners. And he persuaded Trump in that room to go in. And I think Trump will regret this. Well, you're right. He may not care. He may want to just say, moving on, it's a big victory, blah, blah, blah. But the reality is nobody thinks this was a big victory for the United States. Nobody can see anything but actually a bit of a humiliation.
It's humiliation piled on top of humiliation. Trump tells Post he's preparing military if Iran fails to comply in talks. We're loading up the ships. Do you think that scares Iran? It's so impotent. All of these threats are so pathetic. Does he really think that they care? He's not the one setting terms here. They are. You know, I'm kind of like, I'm sick of the way this war is being talked about as if it's a matter of perspective. Right there, Piers Morgan. I mean, he was right in what he said, and he continues to surprise me. He actually came out against what Trump was saying and you know, pointing out how valuable podcasters have been, so-called podcasters have been to Trump. But he's like, you know, this doesn't appear to be a victory. No, this is an abject defeat. What are you talking about? This isn't a matter of perspective. It's not a matter of interpretation. There are facts on the ground, and they are that we lost this war. We've already lost it. As of a week into the war, it was a matter of mitigating the worst negative consequences. And it's the persistent inability to recognize reality that continues us down the path towards total destruction. Iran delegation arrives in Islamabad, talks with the U.S., but insists they won't begin without preconditions met. And those preconditions are that America rein in Israel. Again, this is just the... Again, it's not a matter of perspective, and this isn't a matter of what we've heard for the last 10 years, which was a constant, you know, chorus of the walls are closing in on Trump, the walls are closing in on Trump. But if you look at just the last like 48 hours, it's not that the walls are closing in on Donald Trump. It's that his castle built on sand is crumbling. And there's going to be nothing there. The Iran war is causing shortages all over the world. It is going to, if it hasn't already, destroy the recovery. It's already driven inflation up to where it was in the worst under Biden. You've got Melania Trump going out and giving this press conference without telling Donald Trump, talking about Epstein and trying to quash this email that's been released, which is almost certainly a part of a blackmail operation. It's not a coincidence that the minute Trump gets a ceasefire that Israel hates, all of the sudden, for the first time in months, a mainstream news story comes out about Jeffrey Epstein, and it's tying Melania to Jeffrey Epstein. I mean, we are seeing the blackmail operation just happen right in front of us. And Donald Trump is losing control as he's writing this screed against his former biggest supporters. His wife is giving a speech where she directly contradicts him. He tries to intimidate Iran. They completely call his bluff. So he pretends to agree to a 10-point plan, which is basically a complete capitulation on everything that they want. He agrees to the ceasefire, including Lebanon, but then is incapable of enforcing that on Israel. So Israel breaks the ceasefire. And so then Trump comes out and says, actually, we never agreed to it being a ceasefire, even though we have the admission of the people who made the ceasefire with him, like the prime minister or the foreign minister, whoever it was, of Pakistan, who came out and said, no, Trump agreed to Lebanon explicitly that it would be a ceasefire on Lebanon. So just time and time again, he is showing that he's making demands. Israel is spitting in his face, and he rolls over like a dog, time and time and time again. So now he's got a war on his hands that he can't get out of. He's being blackmailed by Israel to, you know, just obviously in a humiliating way in front of everybody. He's incapable of even dealing with the consequences of the war he started, let alone turn it into a victory somehow. We're racing towards the midterms, and he's only becoming increasingly unpopular as he's surrounded by sycophants and manipulators who are destroying the Republican Party from the inside out. Like, it all is really coming down around Trump's ears right now, and he is frantically endorsing Lindsey Graham and telling people to buy Palantir stock and giving speeches about how the new currency will be digital and it'll be CBDCs. I mean, at this point, I don't know what exactly, I don't know the details of what happened, but the only thing I can really, the only conclusion I can really come to is that, like, he fully sold out. And it's just like, all right, I'll be your guy. I will get the prison planet going. I just need a top spot in it. Again, it's just kind of weird because they're going to screw you, Trump. Like, what do you not understand about this? They'll get what they want from you, and then they throw you under the bus. This is how this works. You should know. You do it all the time. Okay. Israel continues to strike Lebanon after Trump asked Netanyahu to stop. In a Wednesday phone call with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, President Trump asked if the Jewish state could please, please pause its strikes on Lebanon in order to help Washington attain a final peace deal with Iran. While Trump said Netanyahu agreed to stop the strikes, it appears the president does not have control over the actions of Israel. On Thursday and Friday, Israel continued to strike Lebanon. I'm telling you, like, what explains this? Honestly, what explains this? Unless it is, I don't know, man. Like, literally, yeah, confirms he asked Netanyahu for a more low-key campaign against Hezbollah. Yeah, can you keep it on the down low? Netanyahu that day, the largest bombardment ever, 100 bombs in 10 minutes, killing hundreds of civilians. Again, man, if this was private, it would be one thing. It's public what's happening to him. It's like he's having some little secret agreement with Netanyahu that Netanyahu breaks. Netanyahu is letting Trump go on TV and say, I have gotten a guarantee from Netanyahu he will not bomb Lebanon. And then he bombs the hell out of Lebanon, just humiliating him on purpose. I mean, I'll read it again. President Trump asked if the Jewish state could pause its attacks on Lebanon to help Washington attain a final peace deal with Iran, while Trump said Netanyahu agreed to stop the strikes. So I believe Trump in this instance. Trump said, you know, Netanyahu's going to Trump. Yes, we will stop the strikes, definitely. Trump's like, okay, good. Turns around, tells the news that Netanyahu's just making an absolute fool of him. And he's still declaring victory and still saying the Strait of Hormuz will be open. I thought it was open, except for the missiles. Just absurd. Meanwhile, let's go to clip 20 here. Matt Baker has been, I guess he used AI to create a translation tool. It's really good. So this is extremely useful because a lot of the Israeli statements that are the most objectionable and sort of horrifying are in Hebrew. And X doesn't auto-translate Hebrew, certainly doesn't auto-translate video. So Matt Baker at Slave to Liberty with underscores, can't quite remember where. Matt Baker, you go find him on X because he's been posting these videos. This is Bibi Netanyahu talking about Spain, who recently basically just said, we're not going to sell weapons to Israel anymore, and we're not going to allow America to use our bases or our land to launch attacks on Iran, because we don't like the fact that Israel first carried out a genocide in Gaza and is now trying to port that exact same genocidal activity into Lebanon, which, of course, has a ton of Christians and a big Catholic community that they have that in common with Spain. So here is Bibi Netanyahu declaring war on Spain.
Israel will not remain silent in the face of those who attack us. Spain has slandered our heroes the soldiers of the IDF, the most moral army in the world. Therefore, today, I instructed to expel the representatives of Spain from the advocacy center in Kiryat Gat after Spain has repeatedly chosen to stand against Israel. Anyone who attacks the state of Israel instead of the terror regimes, anyone who does this will not be our partner regarding the future of the region. I am not willing to tolerate this hypocrisy and this hostility. I do not intend to allow any country to wage a political war against us without paying an immediate price for it.
Yeah, so, like, screw these guys. Screw these guys. Spain has done way more for the world than friggin' Israel ever has. We actually have reasons to be friends with Spain. So, yeah, again, it's just, it's... They demand total obsequiousness. They demand complete and total subjugation. Even just moderate opposition verbally is enough that they want to kill you. And by the way, I don't think it's a coincidence that as of today, there's hundreds of videos on X of tens of thousands of migrants breaking into Spain. And I know that's because the Spanish government is stupid and socialist and letting them all in and giving them all citizenship. But this is the dichotomy we have to be able to shatter. We got to be able to both not support the genocidal ethno-state of Israel and also not be suicidally stupid and selling out our own countries. I believe that this is possible. I have faith in humanity that we can have principles that preclude both supporting genocide and genociding your own people. What is so goddamn hard about this? Honestly, pardon the French, but like, it is everywhere. It's ubiquitous. It's constant. So it's like, what's Israel going to do to Spain that's worse than what their own government is doing? What could they do? Are they going to send over 500,000 Africans to rape women in Spain, and then when the women are mentally destroyed by the abuse they suffer, kill the women? The Spanish government already does that. So like, we're really getting it from both sides. We're really getting hit from both sides. And again, this is the deliberate false dichotomy that's been created. It's why the Israelis so, you know, offensively took over the Republican Party to bend to their end, because this is the perfect dichotomy. One party is completely dominated by Israel, concerned only with Israel, supporting Israel endlessly because they've been fooled into thinking that somehow being in support of Western civilization, Christian community, means you must support Israel. Like, it's the wildest brainwashing I've ever seen, but it's everywhere. And then the other party will stand up to Israel, will oppose the genocide that they're carrying out, but is relentlessly destroying their own countries more than an outside force ever could. This is the dichotomy that is ideal for the world destroyers and for the globalists. Destroy every country except for Israel, which is unquestionable and supreme. That's the ideal of globalism, because from Israel will reign the Antichrist, the beast system, as capital of the global government. They're telling you it. Why won't we listen to them? Why won't we do something about it? Why are we letting these psychotics drive us towards their apocalyptic end? Why?
My people perish for lack of knowledge. That's what the Bible tells us. Another way to say it is, those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. God has given us compounds in nature that aren't just important, they're vital, they're essential. If you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you die. You don't have water for 4 or 5 days, you die. You don't have food for a month, you die. And why is that? Because there's nutrients in the food you need that are essential. Well, iodine is one of the essential nutrients. We have massive shortages of it in our depleted soils. Now, I have a new CIA declassified document I'm going to hit here in just a moment. But first, I want to show you a few headlines. UN study, 2 billion people suffer from vitamin mineral deficiencies, particularly iodine, the number one cause of cognitive disabilities in the world today. Here's another one. Salt smarts how iodine has increased America's IQs. Starting in the 20s, we had super low IQs like iodine. They put it in 15, 20 point increase. My point is, this is a known fact. It just got declassified 2 weeks ago, CIA Operation Artichoke in the 50s. They said, we've been tasked by the big tax-free foundations, the Rockefellers and Carnegies, to dumb down the American people. And we're going to put poisons in the food, the water, and the vaccines to dumb them down to make them more manageable. Absolutely incredible. So right here, ladies and gentlemen, I have taken a few drops of our new T3, even better than X2, pure atomic iodine, and mixed it with our medical-grade methylene blue. Both of these supercharge your cells, clean out your body, and counter the effects of the things now being admitted by the CIA. That fluoride calcifies the pineal gland and jackets your cells where they cannot transmit. Now, I've been telling you this for decades, so they have major studies, but now here it is. CIA declassified research, the human body is a liquid crystal that is literally transmitting and receiving a transceiver. And what does fluoride do? It literally blocks that. What goes in and strips that out? Iodine and methylene blue, they act in different ways. So this is information that the bad guys not want you to know. Also in the CIA document, they admit that most cancer is microscopic worms. There's hundreds of species that get in and colonize your body, amoebas, and eat your breast, your liver, your brain, you name it. And then they call it a tumor and cancer when they're just areas of your body that have been chewed out. Now, you've seen us with countless doctors and scientists on talking about this. Not all cancer is this, but the majority of it from studies is, and they are again telling you that you just got to die. And if you've got an infection of parasites in your brain or whatever, if they hit it with radiation, it kills the parasites. But the radiation also kills your regular cells. Turns out the majority of people in the world have one form or another of parasite. Here's the Daily Mail. CIA faces furious backlash after a hidden document the potential cure for cancer is declassified after 60 years. We've talked about this for many, many years. We are totally vindicated again. And right now, we finally have the original pure iodine back, but even stronger, now known as T3. The original X2, but even better, at thealexjonesstore.com. Again, ladies and gentlemen, T3 and what it does for your body is amazing. So for a limited time, you can get T3, our new iodine, the very best ever, at thealexjonesstore.com if you're a VIP member for 50% off, regular customers 25% off at thealexjonesstore.com. It funds the operation, total win-win. Now, methylene blue, you fill in 30 minutes on average. Iodine takes about 2 weeks to kick in to get the full effect, but it is just as amazing. You are insane if you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get our Ultra Methylene Blue and the new T3 that's even better than the next two, the same formula but stronger. Exclusively available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you so much for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is The War Room. I want to remind you to go to thealexjonesstore.com to support us. We do need your support now more than ever. And again, I just can't say it enough that, again, just responding to people on X and people are just saying, you know, better get that resume ready. InfoWars is going down. And it's like, yeah, we are, but it's not our fault. It's fine. It's like, well, we're actually going to be bigger at the end of this. I'm actually very much looking forward to getting out from under the bankruptcy lawsuits. But they live in a fake world where approval can be manufactured, where popularity is a matter of algorithm manipulation. And that's not the world that we live in. It's not the real world. It would be a completely different story if we just weren't getting the views, weren't getting the income. Nobody was going to thealexjonesstore.com, and we just sort of, gosh, the money's not coming in. We're going to have to cut some people and really got to figure out what to do to juice up some attention here, get the numbers back. This has never been an issue, never been a problem. We have sat here and watched as just gigantic towers of media, like long-lasting media organizations, just crumble all around us. They've got Vice News might be the best example, right? Vice, which was so promising not too long ago, being routinely injected with $400 million, being given access to every system you could possibly imagine, having their videos forced down your throat by the mainstream media, by the big tech companies, by television stations, like they're a running channel, and they had everything on their side. And they just fail. They just outright fail. Meanwhile, we get no money from anybody except for you, and we continue to strive. I know I say it a lot. You've probably heard it a lot, but it's really amazing. It's really an amazing thing that we got going on here. And the amazing thing is, like, it doesn't matter what anybody thinks about it. It just doesn't. It matters what you think about it, but we have literally come up with a way to just circumvent all of these control systems, which is why they're freaking out, because those control systems aren't working anymore. I said it when I read Trump's post yesterday, when he's like, hey, they were kicked off TV. They're supposed to not exist anymore. Like, that's the mindset from back when TV mattered. Was like, oh, you want to destroy somebody? You cut them off and they basically are gone. Like, basically just nobody hears from them. Nobody knows who they are. That's just not the case anymore. We've circumvented it. We've overcome that. We have disabled that weapon system. They can press the trigger all they want. It ain't firing. We're not getting hurt. So again, I don't know how to convey enough to you just like what it feels like knowing that you're the only people I have to please. It's really awesome. And assuming and trusting that like the only way I can possibly please the audience is just by telling you the truth. So again, it's just like everything incentivizing me is just like, just tell the truth, just be honest, just express to the people who think like you either, you know, what they need to know that they might not know, or just be a voice for them. And again, I think that's an important thing that we do as well, because, and I've experienced in my own life where like, you'll be in a room with a bunch of people and somebody will say something and half the room disagrees, but nobody speaks up until one person does, until one person goes, I don't think that's true. And then four or five other people will immediately go, yeah, I was also thinking that that wasn't true. I also, that's how, like, that's just how the human mind works. It's how we evolved to be. It's how God made us. Like, we're just sort of scared of being the only one to step out in the open naturally. So you just need one person to step out and then other people come along. It's why political endorsements are such an important thing. I think I like this guy, but I don't know. And then you see somebody that you really like endorse him and you go, okay, cool. I did think that was the right guy. I was pretty sure, but now I know for sure. That's the way it works. So again, it's just like, this is the secret, I guess, to our success. Just give the people what they want. By the way, we're still coming out with all sorts of new products. Ultimate Chill, Ultimate Energy are two new products that just launched, sort of combination, but you don't take them together. But, you know, for the morning, you can take the energy, and at night, you take the Ultimate Chill. The Ultimate Chill is a powerful daily formula with ashwagandha and L-theanine designed to help you stay calm, balanced, and focused. You can subscribe today for under $17 a month, and you're locked in for life at that price. But that price will only be valid for the first 1,000 purchases. So the first 1,000 customers get that special locked-in subscription price of under $17. Ultimate Energy is also a high-performance formula with natural caffeine and L-theanine designed to give you clean energy, sharper focus, and mental stamina without the crash. That also can be subscribed to today for $16.99. You lock it in for life at that price. Again, only for the first 1,000 people. So if you want to take Ultimate Chill or Ultimate Energy and get that special subscription offer, you've got to go now, because the first 1,000 people will get that offer and the rest will have to pay full price, which is still extremely affordable and well worth it with this quality of product. But if you want that special deal, you got to go now to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you. And with that, we'll go out to some videos. Let's go to clip 23 here. This is Scott Ritter on with the great Mike Adams, talking about the reality of the Iran war and Trump's role in it. Let's watch.
But here we stand at the verge of this clearly sabotaged so-called, you know, ceasefire deal. Israel refuses to take part in anything that would lead to peace. And Trump seems to, in my opinion, getting owned by Iran. But what is your take of where we are right now as we record this on a Thursday? What is it, April 8th or 9th, something like that? What's your take?
My take is that we have lost a war we should never have been involved in. There is no reason, no justification, no, you know, cognizable, you know, legal foundation of what we've done with Iran against Iran. It's an illegal war of aggression. And I always start this way because, you know, I'm an American. I love my country, but my country is a constitutional republic, which means I must adhere to the Constitution. That is the thing that makes me who I am and we who we are. If you don't adhere to the Constitution, you're not an American. You may live in the United States, you may call yourself an American, but with all due respect, you're not an American. The only thing that makes you an American is your adherence to the Constitution, your loyalty to the Constitution, because that's what defines our nation. And so when I start off by talking about an illegal war of aggression, I just want to remind people that that concept came from Judge Jackson, who was later a Supreme Court justice, but was the lead prosecutor at the Nuremberg war crime trials at the end of the Second World War that put Nazi leaders on trial. And he said the greatest war crime of them all is the war of aggression, because from that, all other crimes are committed. The United States went to war against Iraq without any legal justification. People can come at me and say, but I don't care. I don't want to hear a but. That's not how it works under the rule of law.
Losing a war we shouldn't have been in. In other words, we went to war for Israel and lost because of Israel. They're doing fine. And again, just going through the headlines, Israel continues to strike Lebanon after Trump asked Netanyahu to stop and actually got the confirmation from Netanyahu that he would stop. That, of course, was a lie. U.S.-Iran ceasefire under strain as strikes in Lebanon continue ahead of talks. United States' shaky ceasefire with Iran is under intense pressure ahead of the scheduled diplomatic talks in Islamabad as shipping remains effectively blocked through the Strait of Hormuz, and Israel and Hezbollah continue to trade strikes. President Donald Trump accused Iran of doing a very poor job, dishonorable, some people would say, of allowing oil through the Strait of Hormuz. Again, just impotently raging with a complete lack of ability to do anything about it. Strait of Hormuz remains closed, all but closed. Trump demands Iran stop tolls. Again, it's like, why don't you make them? Aren't you at war? What are we doing here? It really goes to show you that, like, at a certain point, you got to just stop talking. You got to stop talking with these people. The more you talk, the more you try to deal with them, the more you try to make allowances for, you know, their concerns, it never turns out well. The lesson I'm learning from the Iran war is, like, screw it, just attack them. Just attack them. They lose. We are losing. America is losing. Because Iran just won't fold. Just won't give in. Won't make a deal. And that's the way it works. And that's the way the world is. You can make all the threats you want. If you don't have the ability to carry them out, what are you going to do? Which, of course, is also the lesson of Hezbollah. It's why they hate Hezbollah. It's why they've tried to, you know, always try to hide Hezbollah. Now we're hearing a lot more about it. But for years, like, you barely ever heard about Hezbollah, except sometimes they'd, like, drop it in. And I was always telling you, like, that's the real concern for Israel. Because they can work with governments. They can work with negotiators. They can run circles around anybody actually taking them at their word and trying to, in good faith, make a deal with them. The thing they can't contend with is being bombed. That's it. Do you think Trump is realizing this? There's just nothing you can do. He yells at them to open the strait. They just say no. He's yelling at them to stop taking tolls. They're just like, screw you. It just, there's nothing he can do. Just talk about overplaying your hand. I mean, it's just crazy. And so, According to Iran, the Speaker of Iran's parliament, he said there's no talks without a Lebanon ceasefire. So right now, as it stands, America is desperate for a ceasefire with Iran. Israel is preventing that by bombing Lebanon. America agreed to the ceasefire on the condition that it extended to Lebanon, but is unwilling or incapable of restraining Israel and stopping them from bombing Lebanon. So, sounds like we got to like break from Israel. Sounds like we got to either restrain them, or if we can't, just separate from them and go, all right, Iran, we're making a deal with you, and Israel is on its own. We could do that. Why couldn't we do that? Because Netanyahu's got a video of Donald Trump with a child on his phone? I don't know. Maybe. It's like kind of one of the only things that would make sense in all of this, because nothing else does. Vance warns Iran not to, quote-unquote, play with the U.S. as he heads for negotiations. Which, again, it's like, does this sound tough to them? Iran is the one holding the cards here. Iran is the one, at this point, adhering to the ceasefire despite Israel breaking it continuously. Again, I don't even understand Iran. If I was Iran, I wouldn't be in these talks. How are you going to trust them? They're going to kill you. Or they're going to kill Vance. I think it was Russia put out a warning, basically saying that they think Israel's going to kill Vance and try to blame it on Iran. Because Vance doesn't want the war, has never wanted the war, supposedly, reportedly. And it's him and Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner, who of course were the architects of the current war. Or the diplomatic deceit that got us into the current war. So again, Mohammad Bajer Khalibaf, the Speaker of the Iran Parliament, said Friday there will be no negotiations with the U.S. without a ceasefire in Lebanon and a release of blocked Iranian assets. He wrote on the platform X that two measures mutually agreed upon between the parties have yet to be implemented. These two matters must be fulfilled before negotiations begin, he wrote. A fragile ceasefire was implemented Tuesday between the U.S. and Iran, pausing military action that started when the U.S. and Israel carried out a joint attack on February 28th. Iran then shut down the Strait of Hormuz and retaliated against Persian Gulf allies. Both the U.S. and Iran have accused the other of not adhering to the ceasefire deal. The Trump administration dismissed Iran's claims the deal applied to Lebanon, where Israel has carried out a barrage of attacks in its war on Hezbollah. But again, this is another thing where it's like this is not a discussion. It's not up for debate. And you don't have to wonder. Go watch the show when this was announced. The first person to announce it was the prime minister, who explicitly in his announcement said it included Lebanon, and has gone on the record since saying Donald Trump personally said that this would be inclusive of Lebanon, the ceasefire. Now, whether that's because he thought he could get Israel to go along with it or because he was just lying and desperate for a way out of his self-imposed ultimatum, I don't know. But again, it's not like, oh, they're both accusing each other of breaking the ceasefire. No, America and Israel broke the ceasefire. It's not a debate. Crazy. It's just crazy how things are portrayed, as if we don't have a memory. As if we can't remember Tuesday of this week when this happened. What are we talking about? Which is why I went over the timeline this week, going back and watching video of Trump saying things like, no, Israel didn't force us into this. No, I forced Israel. And it's like, but we have the revelations of what was going on behind the scenes. That was just a lie. It was just blatantly lying. You don't think the enemies are seeing that too? You don't think Iran is sitting there watching J.D. Vance make these statements and just rolling their eyes? Like, it's pathetic. It is pathetic what has become of America. Just all the lying, all the scheming, all the deceit, all the manipulation, all the underhandedness. This is not how America is supposed to be governed, and it never was until very recently. They previously accused U.S. of violating three clauses of Iran's 10-point proposal. Even that, it's like they agree to the proposal, and the next day they're just like, what proposal? 10 points? We don't know. We have three lists. All of them have 10 points. And it's just like, what are we doing? Our foreign policy or our government as a whole right now is the classic meme of, ha ha, gotcha, I was just pretending to be retarded. good one. Oh, you were trolling, were you? It's basically what's happening is like, you agree to a 10-point plan, knowing full well later you're going to pretend to be ignorant of it. And when it's brought up, she'd be like, 10-point plan? What? There's lots of plans. I don't know if we have the right one. It's like, you really think you're fooling anybody? The other two include a drone that violated Iranian airspace, an attempt to prevent Iran from enriching, and an attempt to prevent Iran from enriching uranium. Now, the, quote, very workable basis on which to negotiate has been openly and clearly violated even before the negotiations began, Khalibaf said on Wednesday on X. Yeah, dude, I don't know what to tell you. You're dealing with the Israelis and their agents in America. So, no, they're not going to stick to a ceasefire. No, they're not going to adhere to the things that they sign. No, you cannot trust them. No, you should not meet with them. They will kill you. I would think you would know that by now. Trump vows complete decimation in ceasefire warning to Iran. I bet they're shaking in their boots. Trump has threatened to use one of the best weapons ever made against Iran if talks in Pakistan fail this weekend. We're loading up the ships with the best ammunition, the best weapons ever made. Human beings. You know what the best weapon ever made is? An American soldier, folks. That's what we'll be throwing against the iron wall of Iranian infantry defense. Bet they're scared. Bet they're shaking in their boots. Donald Trump's two-week U.S.-Iran ceasefire is in a precarious position because of Israel's strikes on Hezbollah and disagreements over whether Lebanon is included in the truce. My God. Iranian parliament speaker says no talks until Lebanon ceasefire and assets released. And now they're trying to do this thing where they are having like a separate ceasefire talk with Lebanon, and they're apparently in communication with the Lebanese government to try to get ceasefire talks, but Lebanese government's not who they're fighting. They're fighting Hezbollah, and the Lebanese army has no leverage on Hezbollah. So the whole thing is a ridiculous charade. The talks are ridiculous charades. The idea that appealing to the humanity or trying to impose international law, this is all ridiculous. I feel like even talking about it, I'm like somehow contributing to the belief that any of this actually means anything. We can go to clip 17 here. This is what Israel's doing to civilian homes in South Lebanon, an ancient city older than most nations. Let's go to clip 17. There you go. Just again, a beautiful landscape of Lebanon just being bombed smithereens. Another bombing raid, killing dozens, injuring dozens, killing several innocent Lebanese civilians. Yeah, I mean, it just can't go on that much longer, honestly. Now, interestingly, as you may know, we bombed a lot of the critical infrastructure in Iran. If you go to clip number 9, this was a train bridge that America bombed a few days ago. Let's go to clip number 9 now. This is the first train crossing the Yayabad Bridge following its rapid post-war reconstruction. Now, I went ahead and looked into how we're doing on the Key Bridge in Baltimore. And, folks, we are 70% of the way through the design process. So don't worry. I know it's been 2 years already, but we are almost done finalizing the plans to begin rebuilding it, okay? Does that mean anything to you? I don't know. To me, I think that means a lot. Iran has already rebuilt bridges that have been destroyed in this conflict that's only gone on for 40 days. America has not rebuilt the Key Bridge since it fell over 2 years ago when a ship bumped into it. Right now, the Postal Service just said they're no longer contributing to employees' pensions because of a cash crisis. Trump is talking about severely cutting Medicare, Medicaid, any sort of assistance to the American people. While our roads become undrivable, our neighborhoods unrecognizable, and our border still rather porous, with tens of thousands of H-1Bs running open fraud to scam their way in here. So again, everything that we say about Iran, I wouldn't give a damn if we were doing okay. Just okay. If we were just better than on the trajectory of death, which is what we're on now, go to war with Iran. What do I care? Serve Israel. That's fine. Am I allowed to let my daughter walk to her school, or will she be kidnapped? Can I, you know, afford a tank of gas, or am I walking this week? Like, how can we not manage the most basic fundamental functions of our government? You know what? Actually, I should stop that statement because I was going to say, but we could wage war overseas. Well, apparently we can't even do that. Apparently, the trillions of dollars that we've taken away from the American people, that we have removed from any sort of process that would benefit, uplift, or make more comfortable any single American person, that we have funneled endlessly into the military-industrial complex to enrich some people in Arlington, Virginia, and bomb children overseas, it hasn't even built us a good army. We don't even have the most advanced equipment. So this is the deal. This is the Trump art of the deal, is that you have to suffer, you have to sacrifice, and in return, you get nothing. You get nothing. They'll take your money to give to the military, but the military squanders it or wastes it or it gets stolen. We don't even have a good military. So this is the offer that they're offering us. Hey, look, we can't afford, you know, basic help to the American people. We've got a military to build. You look at the military and it's a cardboard box and some rubber bands. But where'd all that money go? Did all that money go into, you know, investigations to determine which soldiers had a tread, you know, don't tread on me flag so you could subject them to HR indoctrination? It's just everything is so messed up. I don't know how anybody looks at this and doesn't immediately realize we're under attack and this is on purpose.
Let me do this. The folks at Bigley, about 7-8 months ago, came out with this top-of-the-line Faraday cage backpack with all these special pockets, super high quality. I'd previously bought a bag for myself personally like this, similar brand, for $500. The problem was they only got 500 of these. Well, guess what? They got a couple thousand of them finally in. It took 7-8 months. It's a $600 value, just the bag, for $249. But guess what comes in it? America First Faraday bag, America First Tactical Trench Knife. It's badass. America First T-shirt, MK Ultra Atomic Defense Supplements, Shilajit Gummy, Shilajit Capsules, Irish Sea Moss Capsules, Warcry premium product, and more. And VIP members get it for $199. Also, as you can now read in the newspapers, the Texas receiver is saying he's not going to pay the rent or the bills. So you guys, when are we going to be shut down? Tomorrow? 2 weeks from now? I'm going to just wait till the lights turn off, okay? You'll probably see InfoWars go down the site. You see streaming shut down. Once we can't do it, we have the All Shows Network built at Bigley Owns, and I'm going to go over and do it there. But I'm going to ride this horse till it dies. I'm going to ride this race car till the engine blows or the wheels come off. Or I crash into the embankment. I ain't giving up. I'm riding this horse till I win or I lose. And then the media's like, oh, he's finally going to lose. Oh, yeah, all right. I am the InfoWar. Our listeners are the InfoWar. And we got a whole line. Here's the first one of a limited edition Veterans of the InfoWar t-shirts. Look at this. This is badass. And it's the troops on Iwo Jima raising the American flag with the InfoWars patch where the stars are. InfoWars lives forever. It is an amazing limited edition shirt. Look at that bad boy. And it funds this operation, but also the Alex Jones Network to keep us on the air. We need funds. We want to get more reporters back and expand, but we need your support. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.